The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Boy, big trade in the NFL. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. I see some good choices for best sports movie ever from the callers. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Stephen A. had a Stephen A's list on First Take today. Five greatest sports movies. He botched it. He did get Rocky III and Any Given Sunday, which are two of the five, but he did not get the other three. At any rate, huge, huge NFL trade. You know, not the sexiest, but if you're a football fan, it'll have a bigger impact, for example, than J.J. Watt signing, you know, stuff like that. Okay, what is it? I don't even understand why the Ravens did this. It's Ravens Chiefs. Lamar Jackson loses protection on the offensive line, and Patrick Mahomes gets it. So check this out. Kansas City gets Orlando Brown. That's Pro Bowl left tackle Orlando Brown. A second round pick this year and a sixth round pick next year. Baltimore gets Kansas City's first round pick this year, but remember, they're picking 31st. A third round pick this year, a fourth round pick this year, and a fifth round pick next year. So they swap a sixth for a fifth next year. That's a tick up. That's not bad for Baltimore. And they swap a second round pick, which is pick 58 this year, for Kansas City's 31st pick this year. They move up 27 slots in the draft, and they also get a third and a fourth. So would you do that? Would you give up a left tackle for 27 slots in this year's draft, a Pro Bowl left tackle, for 27 slots in this year's draft, plus a third and a fourth this year? Maybe. It sounds like a fair trade, but oh, that's a big move for Kansas City, because they needed help on the offensive line. Listen, they had injuries on the offensive line. They missed both their starting tackles and another offensive lineman. It's the reason I think they lost to the Bucs, certainly the way they did. But Orlando Brown, that's a big, big pickup for Kansas City. A big pickup for Kansas City. What do you think? Would you have made that trade? By the way, we have Mike Tannenbaum coming up in a little bit. You hear what he had to say about Robert Saleh, about what Robert Saleh, Jets head coach, had to say? Ooh, it's he said, he said. Then you're going to hear what I have to say. It's he said, he said, he said. Then you're going to hear about maybe what you had to say. It'll be he said, he said, he said, maybe another he said, maybe a she said. Anthony Davis, I thought athletically AD looked good in his return. Played 15 minutes, scored 4 points. Didn't shoot it very well at all, but what are you looking for from AD first game back? You want to see, does he athletically look the same? Is he moving? Is he moving laterally? Is he jumping up and down? Is he everywhere, you know, on defense? Is he athletically capable, or do you see in the back of his mind he's thinking about the injury? I saw a healthy AD. I was very encouraged by what I saw. I'm not worried about the rust or the game shape, you know, or anything like that, or the rhythm right now. He just got back. But athletically, I was encouraged by what I saw. So was head coach Frank Vogel. Listen.
He impacts the game on both ends, but his defense was great. You know, I think he picked up right where he left off. I think he's the best defensive player in the league when he's got his legs under him and conditioned. But you saw some of that tonight with those plays you alluded to. He also stole a corner skip pass that, you know, really should have been a rotation, and he just like plucked it out of midair. So, he's a difference maker on both sides of the ball, but he was terrific on D tonight.
Keep in mind, the Lakers may have to play the Clippers first round of the playoffs. And they're going to need AD to be at full strength, because here's the thing. The Clippers have no answer for AD, right? Zubac is a big body who can play. Ibaka, if he ever gets healthy, is a real good answer insofar like there is no answer. But That's a long guy who can defend, although not so much this year. I'm going to say that's because of the back soreness and can shoot. But what are you really going to do with this guy? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, defensively, you can't ask for more on LeBron. LeBron's still going to get his. But that you know, those guys match up really well defensively, or as well as you can hope. AD is the monster that the Clippers aren't going to have an answer for. And the reason I'm saying Clippers is not only might the Lakers meet them in the first round, but when I really analyze the West, given Jamal Murray's injury, the real rivals to the Lakers, other than the Clippers, are the Suns and the Jazz. I don't believe in the Jazz. I think they're very good. It's possible they could win, but I think they are a dynamic offensive player away. They have Donovan Mitchell, and there's no one else really like that. I like Conley a lot, a lot. Gobert's a very good defensive player, and they have a lot of nice pieces. But when push comes to shove, I think you need another dynamic playmaking scorer on that Utah team to make me a believer that they can win the whole thing. So that leaves the Suns. And as you heard Jordan Schultz yesterday on Mike Jordan on the Max Kellerman Show ESPN Radio, DeAndre Ayton's probably a couple years away defensively for the Suns. That leaves the Clippers. The Clippers are deep. They are excellent. They now have playoff experience. It's going to come down to Paul George, you know, not letting his level sink again in the playoffs. But that's who the Lakers are looking at, and they are going to need a healthy AD. Okay, now, I want you to listen to something that Robert Saleh, Jets head coach, said about the pressure to start a rookie quarterback, because, of course, the Jets are going to draft Zach Wilson. That's not a secret. Listen to Coach.
I don't think there's risk. You know, it still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around everybody. I mean, there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And so as far as pressure is concerned, there's no pressure on me. It's just there's always pressure. There's always pressure to put together the best football team we possibly can, regardless of who's playing.
Okay, so that's Coach talking. And I want you to listen to Mike Tannenbaum because he's coming up in a matter of moments. Oh, and he and I disagree about this. Mike and I agree about too much, but we disagree about this. I'm going to grill him. But here's Mike Tannenbaum responding on Greeny this morning to what head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, had to say.
I think that's really naive. I just don't think he has any idea what's about to happen, because when it goes great and Rex Ryan came in, it went really great for Rex, and we know the rest is history. But, boy, there are some dark days when you go on a three-game losing streak, and there's pressure from the day you agree to become the head coach, the GM, or the quarterback of a New York football team. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's the best city in the world. It's the best sport in the world. But for him to say there's no pressure, I don't think he has any idea what he's in store for.
Okay, I think Mike Tannenbaum is misunderstanding what Saleh's saying. Let's play the Saleh sound again, Raj. Let's take a listen.
I don't think there's risk. You know, it still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around everybody. I mean, there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And so as far as pressure is concerned, there's no pressure on me. It's just there's always pressure. There's always pressure to put together the best football team we possibly can, regardless of who's playing.
See, what Coach is actually saying there to me is not that there's no pressure, in fact, even though he explicitly said that. What he's saying is you have to contextualize the pressure. There's always pressure on every position, on every team that on which he's, you know, on you know, on which he's a staff member, on whose he's been the coach. I can't think grammatically right now. But the point is, if he's involved in a team as a coach, what he has noticed is there's always pressure on every position every week to do your best, to put together a good team. And that goes for rookies and veterans, whether you're in New York or out of New York. Now, Mike Tannenbaum has experience. New York is a little different. But that may be the exact mentality you need, is Saleh's mentality. Like, if I was a Jets fan, I'm not. I detest the Jets. I'm a Giants fan. And as you know, if you're a Giants fan, you must hate the Jets and vice versa. That's the proper way to do it. White Sox fans must hate the Cubs and vice versa. But Mike Tannenbaum here on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN front officer, front office insider joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum, we frequently agree, but about this we disagree. You got on Saleh and called it naive. for him to say there's no pressure, but I interpret what he's saying, Mike, as it's not that there's no pressure, really. It's that there's always pressure. He's saying there's no extra pressure. How do you respond?
Yeah, I love you, Max, and I disagree because I think in New York it is, and I think it's Coach Parcells said best, Max. There's two stages in New York sports, euphoria and disaster, and there's so in between. And when he says there's not extra pressure, and I hope he does great for the next 10 years, I just think that's being very naive from a standpoint that until you sit in that seat, look, if they start 3-0, he's going to be Newt Rockne and Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick wrapped into one. If he's 0-3, they're going to be talking about being one and done. And whether that's right or wrong, that's the market that, you know, we're all in, Max. And when you're the head coach, GM, or the quarterback of a New York NFL team, it's different.
Now, you would know Mike Tannenbaum because you were the GM of the Jets. But let me just say, you're right. I would say not just New York fans. I'd say especially Jets fans. They have, like, they're emotionally disturbed Jets fans. Like, they have issues with their personalities because you're right. You win a game, you're going to win the Super Bowl. You lose a game, everyone should be fired. They're off their rocker, Jets fans. So I understand what you mean, but wouldn't you think as a GM that just the kind of coach that you want is the kind of coach who doesn't react to that? Who's like, it's kind of Belichickian in the sense that it's like, it's always the same. We have to compete every week. Every position, I'm not getting caught up in the other stuff. Isn't that the right kind of personality for the Jets?
Yeah, and I think that's true. My point, Max, is much more fundamental, which is I'd love to hear what he has to say a year from now. He just doesn't know what's going to happen. I think being an NFL head coach has a massive learning curve in and of itself, and doing it in New York is like learning how to drive a car going 90 miles an hour in a Porsche. And there's going to be something that happens, Max, that you're not going to have a conversation with in the fall about, can you believe he threw that challenge flag? Can you believe he went for a fourth down when he was backed up? And it's going to be an avalanche. And until he lives that and has some scar tissue, he just doesn't know what's coming.
Well, see, Raj, I want you to do this now. Remember, in a year, I want Mike on with Coach. I want Robert Saleh on the show because I'd love to talk to him in a year. To see if you're right about that. Mike, I'm not doubting you. You have actual experience with this stuff. I'm just saying that his answer didn't sound naive to me. It sounded, in a way, experienced. Like, not that he's unaware of the issues you're talking about as it relates to New York. In terms of the learning curve as being a head coach, I get it. How could he be prepared? But in terms of an attitude, a mindset with which to approach the job, were I in your position and I was vetting head coaches, I would like that. If he came into your office talking that, would you think, I don't like this guy for the job, he's not emotionally prepared for it or ready for it? Or would you think, you know what, that's the kind of attitude that a Jets coach has to have?
Yeah, that's a totally fair point. And I'll give you another real-life example. Rex Ryan, you know, we interviewed Rex and everyone's like, well, what was that like? You know, what you see with Rex is what you get behind closed door. Look, on his first press conference, he's talking about, I'm not here to kiss Bill Belichick's quote unquote, you know what, rings. And at the time, that's exactly what we needed as a franchise. Mm-hmm. And he was the right guy at the right time. And Rex is that way to this day, Max. He truly does not care what anybody else thinks. He is unbelievably comfortable in his own skin, and he just doesn't care. And he, one of the many reasons he had success, in my opinion, in New York was he didn't care. Coach Parcells, very similar. You know, he was very established when he was coaching the Jets after success with the Giants and the Patriots. He really didn't care. And all I'm saying is Robert Saleh has earned the right for the job. He's had a charmed NFL career. He's worked very, very hard. And my point is, until he goes through a three-game losing streak and he's on the back page as, you know, the next bust, he doesn't really know what's coming because, candidly, it's really hard to know unless you grew up in this part of the country.
You know what's great? Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, front office insider, former GM of the Jets, of course. What's great is having experience, working for the Jets. I've had experience my lifetime watching them, although I'm a Giants fan. It's not a question of, you know, if they're going to have a three-year losing streak, right? It's like, yeah, when that streak comes for the Jets, are you going to be prepared for it? Mike, of all the teams in the draft right now who maybe aren't picking in the top 10, But let's say Justin Fields drops to 9 or something like that. Which team do you think should be seriously contemplating giving up a lot of capital to move up and grab Fields?
Yeah, this one's easy for me, Max. We talked about this on Get Up today. It's the Patriots, the Patriots, and the Patriots. It's how can you go through an offseason like they've done where they've greatly improved their team, been uncharacteristically aggressive, made massive improvements. If they get within shouting distance of a first-round pick to get up to, let's say, 8 to go, and my suggestion today was go from 15 to 8 for next year's one. Carolina has Sam Darnold. They gave up a 2-4 next year for Darnold. They'd love to sit there with 2-1s. Mm-hmm. And if you're New England, let him sit behind, you know, Justin Fields. Let him sit behind Cam Newton for a year. And now if you're New England, you got your much better team this year, hopefully an improved Cam Newton. And most importantly, now you have your quarterback for the next 10 years in Justin Fields.
Okay, that all presumes, talking to Mike Tannenbaum here on the Max Kellerman Show, that all presumes, and I 100% agree with that plan, but that all presumes, because by the way, you're not down in Cam Newton. You're saying, yeah, Cam might get it done, but you still, he's not a spring chicken. You'd like to grab your next guy who's a lot fresher and seems to have a lot of upside. That all presumes that Bill Belichick looks at Justin Fields and says, yes, that guy. I have a broader question about Belichick. Because they had a sub-500 record, we saw Mike Tomlin go 8-8 at least without Ben Roethlisberger. But Tom Brady leaves, and that year, for the first time as a Patriots head coach, Belichick has a sub-500 record, and Brady doesn't just succeed or win a playoff game or win he wins the Super Bowl and had a great year. Is there some kind of demystification going on as it relates to Belichick, where once upon a time I would sit here thinking, well, if Belichick doesn't see something special, he's looking for a very certain thing. And is it more in evaluating what the Patriots might do is, hey, Belichick doesn't have some magic ability to see or develop quarterbacks, and we can trust what we see in Justin Fields. They should go grab that guy. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if it's a well-phrased question, but do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Sure. And look, I think, you know, Belichick had incredible years as a defensive coordinator with the Giants, and, you know, he was the defensive coordinator of the year the Patriots went to the Super Bowl with Parcells. Like, his track record, I think, is truly beyond reproach. With that said, I think he's also a very good and candidly honest self-evaluator where, you know, I think this aggressiveness wasn't anything more than, like, I think my point is this. If you had talked to Coach Belichick after the last game of the season before the playoffs started, I think where they netted out, Max, is the exact same place just with Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl. My point being is I really don't think Brady's success in the postseason is going to impact what he believes he needs to do for his team.
But what about what we believe? You know what I mean, Mike? What about, in other words, like, because football, the sample sizes aren't huge like baseball. A lot of the time, it's harder to evaluate, and because it's so interdependent, offensive line can affect your corners in a weird way, right? Are we learning now that has Belichick been demythologized in a sense that are we learning now? No, he doesn't have some magical power to see some kind of special quality in a quarterback. We can all see Justin Fields is talented. You should go grab him, you know?
Right. No, and that's fair. I mean, look, they've had a magical run. We knew that for, you know, 2 decades that what they've done is historically great by any measure. And now there's certainly going to be a camp out there that says, you know, Belichick can't win without Brady. But I think they can. And I think based on what they've done, they're going to be very competitive this year. And I think they need a quarterback for the future desperately. And on the fact that they've been in Mac Jones's workout, they've been all over the place, isn't by accident. And I think one of Coach Belichick's superpowers, and I had the great fortune of working for him at 2 different spots in my career, is he is a honest and sort of very clinical evaluator of everyone, including himself and his team. And he's not going to try to talk himself into, hey, we could go win with Cam Newton because he's a good guy. Like, those words don't come out of Bill's mouth. It's going to be, here's what he does well, here's what he has to get better at, and here's what we need to do. And it's going to be a very clinical approach. And I think that's one of his superpowers.
Mike, I they're going to kill me because I'm busting through a stop sign right now. I need to know for you in 30 seconds. Ravens and Chiefs, did you see the trade? Orlando Brown from the Ravens to the Chiefs, they swap a first for a second this year, and they pick up a third and a fourth and swap a fifth for a sixth next year. Why would the Ravens deal blindside protection to an AFC rival with a guy like Patrick Mahomes?
Because I think the reason they made that trade is they weren't going to be able to keep him. You know, this is going to be, you know, the first of many non-Lamar Jackson rookie contract veterans they can't keep. Mm-hmm. And let's get something for him now before he leaves in free agency
to the Chiefs
down the road. So,
to the Chiefs, you want to give Mahomes blindside protection? Are they crazy?
Hey, when you're selling like that, you know, there's 31 other teams. You don't like to do it. I'm sure they would have liked to go on to the NFC, Max, but yeah. They got good value and they had to pull the trigger.
The great Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Max. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Tannenbaum, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear More Driven, a major revelation about Sasquatch that you don't want to miss. Would you see me without my shirt on, Raj? You saw some home pictures or something? It's my hair on my chest grows straight. It doesn't curl. It's like a Yeti. I'm like a Sasquatch. So is
it's
that
not
what you're
that.
It's not me? Okay.
Plus, no, it's not you, but it's something you got to hear, Max. You got to hear.
Plus,
it.
Your calls on your favorite sports movies.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as the Nets host the Suns, presented by Indeed. That's a good matchup. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Playing a little Nirvana, huh? I recognize that. See, I don't know the names of songs. Ever since CDs came out, I don't know the names of songs, but I can recognize the song.
And I think he's getting ready for the next segment when we battle your lack of rock knowledge against Brendan's horrible hip hop knowledge.
I mean, Brendan, really ought to be ashamed of yourself.
God, it's the only thing you can win, Max.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
What do you got, Raj?
All right, Max. You agree with Super Bowl champion Tom Brady that changing numbers is dumb.
Nah, son. I mean, look, he has a point to make. The offensive line might be a little confused in the beginning, maybe, kind of. So he wants to protect himself, right? Dude, I like watching defense. I know violence is an issue for the NFL, like long term, but that's something that you have to constantly kind of negotiate because that's part of the appeal. You know what my favorite... You know who my favorite player of all time is? Are you aware who my favorite football player of all time is, Raj?
No, I'm not, Max.
Lawrence Taylor. Also the greatest football 56. Player of all time, if we really mean like who is the best at his best. Lawrence Taylor, my favorite play in football used to be Lawrence Taylor putting his shoulder pad into the small of the quarterback's back and watching that dude do the wave before being carted off on a stretcher. I love it. So like, who says it's a worse product? Just because the offensive line's a little confused. Nah.
That's right.
Nah. No. And by the way, can a linebacker get the number 5 sometimes? You always have to be like 57. Come on. All right.
Yeah, I heard you.
I mean, 56, you got to leave alone because of LT. But, you know. All right. What else you got?
All right. You tease it. Ooh, I'm intrigued. So you'll watch the new Sasquatch documentary examining if Bigfoot is a serial killer who hunted marijuana farmers.
Sign nah, son, I ain't gonna watch it, but I'll tell you what. If they made a film, like, the reason I won't watch the documentary because I can tell you already, no, Sasquatch is not a serial killer. There's no such thing as Sasquatch, and therefore he's not a serial killer who's hunting marijuana farmers. No. But if they made a feature film, now you piqued my interest. I don't care. It could be made for cable. That's fine. Sasquatch as a serial killer who's hunting farm. Oh, okay. Now I'm in. What else?
All right. Hey, look, I don't know if you felt this. Well, you probably didn't feel it, but I'll hear we did it. A massive gender reveal explosion was so powerful, it destroyed homes and was mistaken for an earthquake. You know, these gender reveals have gotten out of control.
I don't know
these
what that is.
Chill. A gender reveal? You don't know what, can you explain what that is, please, B? Do you know what a gender reveal is?
Yeah, I'm a normal human.
Yes, no.
When you're having a child, they have like a thing. It'll be like either a boy or a girl, and they'll have like an explosion or a cake, and it's blue or pink. And yeah, but they're becoming insane where like cannons go off and things go on fire. And
I had three kids. By the way, I had Brendan doesn't have any kids. He knows what a gender reveal is. I had three kids, all girls. When you see on the sonogram that it's going to be a girl in my case, then you say, oh, great, we're having a girl. You need to have a gender reveal? What's wrong with people?
So I guess your answer is no
nah,
doubt.
Nah, son. No doubt. Control. Wait. No doubt what?
It's gotten out of control?
Well, apparently, first of all, these things exist. And then secondly, they've gotten out of control. I'll say no doubt. And you guys are telling me that they exist, so I could say no doubt, I guess, if I take your word for it.
All right.
People are firing cannons when they find out if it's a boy or a girl.
So people have literally died from it. Like, there literally have been deaths from it.
The whole point in bringing a life into the world.
There have been actual deaths from gender reveals.
Everyone's okay. Listen, I'm making an announcement right now. I'm going to have to just declare no more gender reveals. Be happy with what you got. You don't need to make a big show of it. Just be happy with what you got. It's great. You have a girl, it's great. You have a boy, it's great. Congrats, Mazel Tov, everybody who's having a kid, and let it be. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, look, a lot of people have been waiting on their favorite sports movies. Why don't we sneak one in before the break?
All right. There it is. Mike in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello?
Yes, Mike.
I got three that maybe you don't know. Fear Strikes Out with Anthony Perkins playing Jimmy Pearsall.
I don't know it offhand.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Pearsall's having a mental breakdown, and it's from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You got to check it out.
All right.
Slapshot.
Slapshot, okay, good
shot.
One. Mm-hmm.
With the Hansons.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider this a sport because I used to watch it myself on Wide World Sports, The Hustler with
The Hustler.
Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And Willie Moscone was in that movie and made all the shots.
I agree. The Hustler was very good. Okay. So, so The Hustler. But top five of all time? See, you got to have a Rocky on there. I nominate Rocky 3 because I know what I'm talking about. I think you need a football movie, right? And so The Longest Yard, North Dallas 40. By the way, whether you like it or not, you can just deny it if you are. Like, it's much like Rocky III. Have an emotional experience when you watch a film. If you can watch Any Given Sunday and pretend it's not a great movie, go ahead. I don't know who you're fooling or what you think you're accomplishing. It's a great flick. Remember the Titans also packed an emotional punch, but it relied to me a little bit on kind of manipulative devices. You know, it was like not as... I felt like Rocky III and Any Given Sunday were both better made movies. But remember, the Titans was a great movie. And I still I refer to it when I say, you know, sometimes you'll watch a fight or a game. And the main thing is that one team or one fighter didn't even leave an impression on the other. You know, the idea of, forget about race relations and everything else. Always remember the day they played the Titans. Make sure they remember that. That to me is an important thing. You got to at least make an impression. You got to leave a piece of yourself with your opponent, win or lose. All right, coming up, you can hear my lack of rock and roll knowledge and see whether that's superior to Brendan's lack of hip-hop knowledge. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Up next, what I just said. What do you mean up next, what I just said? Why is Raj highlighting things I already said? What's the matter with you? Tune in to an NL East battle tomorrow as the Mets host the Nationals. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The ESPN is on the NBA. That would be something if ESPN was on NBA radio. But it's quite the opposite. The NBA is on ESPN radio, thankfully. Tune in tomorrow night as the Mavs host the Lakers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations, and you can watch it on ABC.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right,
got?
Max. It's time for the game. This is the game there where you are undefeated.
That's right.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Not undefeated. It's
from
unbelievable.
All my deep rock and roll knowledge.
Yes, it's a game where we match Max's lack of rock and roll knowledge against Brendan's lack of hip-hop knowledge. Let's start with you, Brendan, since you fascinated us so much. Shock G just passed away from the legendary group, the Underground. Yeah, he passed away yesterday from the Digital Underground. Brendan, what was Shock G's alter ego? Who was he? Alter ego had the most famous song from the group, in fact.
Well, I think isn't their song the Humpty Dance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, so who is he?
DJ Humpty?
Almost. You know what? I give it to him, Raj.
That's close enough. Humpty Humpty was his alter ego. That's right, with the big nose and the glasses.
What was it really?
Humpty Hump.
Oh, Humpty, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, DJ Humpty is close enough. I'll bet you at some point that's
what it should have been.
DJ.
Hey, Max.
Yeah.
You know that band U2, that famous band U2?
No, U2 is the most along with Springsteen, the two most overrated rock groups ever.
I don't agree with you on Springsteen. I do agree with you on U2. Get him out of here.
Okay, fine. So, Max.
Let me just say something. I love everything about Springsteen except his music. But go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Raj.
Who's the lead singer of U2 then, Max?
Bono.
Oh, good. You're good at this game.
Why doesn't he have to name all four members?
There's four guys in U2.
Name all four members.
I think there were two because there's a two in the net. Right. Who knew there? Four. By the way, you know what's so funny? I once argued about Steve Mason about this, about some U2 lyrics. The most trite lyrics I ever read. It was like from the song One or something. I was like, this is awful.
Name one member.
And they were, oh my God, the lyrics are so brilliant.
Kidding me.
I don't get it either. All right. You want to name members? Fine. Name me the members of Outkast. That's my favorite rap group. Well, not my favorite, but one of my favorite. Come on. Give me a name. You got it.
I
got
to do both of them?
You got it.
Since you want to name members.
All right. Calm down. It's Big Boy, right?
Ooh, yes.
He's the harder of the two.
That's how I go his start. Big Boy, and it's... Andre 3000?
Oh!
Oh my goodness, he did it! Yes!
What about the two other guys?
No idea.
There are no two other guys. Sorry about that. It's not like U2. There are four dudes in U2 for real? Who knew? Anyway.
All right, Matt.
White people, am I right? No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, Ryan. Yeah.
Since you like members, you like naming members. So, Max, there's a band from Texas. They're a trio back from the 80s. They still play today. And they're famous for two of their members having real long beards. What's the name of that band?
ZZ Top.
Oh, you good. You good, Max. You real good.
Long beards. Right. I mean, it's only one group, right? ZZ Top.
I think, are we tied right now? Are we all tied
up? Yes, you are tied. Two apiece. So, B.
There were three dudes in ZZ Top? I thought there were two. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Who's saying...
ZZ and Top.
Who's saying the song OPP? The letters O, P, and P.
Naughty by Nature.
Boy, you've been 3 for 3. You've been doing his homework. That boy's been sitting there watching BET all weekend.
Listen, this is how old I am. When you said, I'm quickly thinking, if I have to steal this from Tretch and what they call it, Naughty by Nature.
All right.
If you get this wrong, Max, I'm in the lead.
Damn.
Max, are the Red Hot Chili Peppers from? Where did the Red Hot Chili Peppers consider home?
I don't know. New York?
Gosh, no. That was something called they're true LA legends.
California.
I don't know. You know why I said that? Because in the day, they used to be at CBGB's in New York when I was a kid, and I used to go there. So I associated. Okay. I have no idea. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Red Hot Chili Peppers also okay. They're fine.
I'm up one.
You're up one, Brendan.
My daughter's friends think they're the greatest. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way, so they're still relevant among young girls.
The reason I play bass is because of Flea, basically.
Flea is from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I take it back. They're great. I love Flea. Go ahead.
Yes, and in a previous rendition of this, you thought they were from Guns N' Roses. You thought Flea was from Guns N' Roses, but he's not.
All right, Slash
B, you're
Flea.
Already winning. But what record company did P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, make famous? Where he discovered the Notorious B.I.G. What was the record company name?
I think it's Bad Boy.
Correct.
He is on fire. He's on fire. That's 4 for 4. But just stop the music. Play your theme music. You are the champ. You have dethroned Max Kellerman. Congratulations. Max, what do you have to say for yourself?
I don't know. I don't remember things. I don't remember things anymore. Even when you were giving me hip-hop trivia, I was like, let me just make sure. Oh, yeah, okay, I got it.
I got it.
Andre 3000 and Big Boy. Big Boy. Yeah, I got it. Got it. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Well, we laughed, we cried. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.